Hello and welcome to Beards and Brews Movie Reviews. Tonight you'll have myself hosting, Eric.
I am Brady.
And this is Chandler.
And tonight's movie is 1993's Tombstone. And tonight's brew will be handed off to Mr. Chandler. What do we got?
Today we have Goodwood Brewing Company out of Louisville, Kentucky. We are having their bourbon barrel stout.
It's there to get the bulge on you.
It's like the perfect beer for a Western, a nice good old bourbon-flavored beer.
I have yet to taste this, so once we get into it, I'll definitely have a little sippy sip.
So this was actually your choice for movie, Tombstone, Brady. So why Tombstone?
I wanted to go with Tombstone because it's one of those films to where it has enough serious elements that you can actually sit down and watch it, but it also has enough over-the-top nonsense that you can laugh your ass off. So, I thought it'd be a definite good introduction into Beards and Brews.
I have to agree. I love this movie. I have to concur with your points. Actually, Chandler, yourself, you haven't seen this movie before. This is your first viewing. We actually watched this moments ago. How do you feel about
this? This was the first time that I'd ever seen it. It was good. I really enjoyed it.
Like, for those listening in, I just pulled up my six shooters and started just putting it at everybody. It's just
those are finger pistols, and they are illegal in town.
I mean, it's the kind of movie that makes me want to do that while I'm watching it, and I did.
Yeah.
It's a movie that gets me going. It's a movie that has so much energy in it, and I love to watch it every time. The casting of this movie is fantastic. A-list actors
from
top to bottom, from starring roles to background roles.
Good sir, we discussed that, the ensemble cast, especially with names such as Michael Roker, who are willing to merely stand in the background holding a beer. Doesn't say a damn word until three-fourths of the way through the movie. And then there he is, hey, I'm willing to help.
That's another thing that I was noticing. Bill Paxton, who is one of the lead roles in this, really doesn't even have a whole lot of meaningful speaking lines. A lot of the time, his presence is just, you see his face and that's enough.
He smiles.
That's enough.
He smiles a lot.
That's a good point. Most of him is just reaction shots.
Right.
Just to something somebody else had said. It's just him either smiling or being grimacing.
Spoilers, Bill Paxton's biggest thing in this is bleeding. Like, he bleeds several times.
But he didn't just stand there and bleed.
No, not he did not pull a swollen Billy Bob Thornton.
Well, that's a strong contrast to Val Kilmer, whose main role in this, to me, was sweating.
Yes,
it's absolutely. Tell this man not to sweat it, and he'll shoot you.
Ouch. I'm going to give that one an ouch. I loved it, though. Val Kilmer in this, I just, the way that he does everything with his eyes in this, the entire film has these little shots where they like to take the lighting, and it's almost like that Morticia Adams from the Adams Family. They dull everything out except for right across the eyes, mm-hmm. and that's to make them pop. Speaking of the eyes, that's something else that really bothered me was, I guess, high definition televisions, that kind of thing. Just being able to see Kurt Russell's eyeliner bugged the fuck out of me. I could not help but focus on his half-line lower lash.
I wonder if that was just to knock the sun off of him, like filming in the desert all that time. Kind of like how you hear that little bit of schmutz that football players have on their cheeks.
I really think it was to beautify him. Val Kilmer was meant to look sick. They left it off of him. And as Chandler mentioned, he was blue baba diba da da.
Yeah, even before I knew anything was really up, I made a note that Val Kilmer just looked blue.
He was just blue cheese incarnate with his little veins and everything.
And then, you know, there's, of course, Sam Elliott, and he is playing Virgil in that. The older brother who really kind of brings shit down upon the family, even though they, for whatever reason, pass the buck on to Wyatt. And, damn it, Wyatt, why'd you do this? He's just like, what? I told you not to, but hey, whatever. So him and his lack of a lower face, it is all mustache. My wife will hate me for this. I do not think Sam Elliott can act. I have never thought he can act. The man has a fucking presence, though. When you see Sam Elliott,
he can sell you a Chevy.
Yes. He can fit so much Chevy in this movie.
So we're praising these guys, and even gals, maybe. So what is Tombstone about? It is it's a little bit of a dramatic retelling of a historical event that happened in New Mexico in the town of Tombstone, where these four guys, they drop into town. Moving there basically out of retirement. The town is just filled with a bunch of riffraff nonsense, and they kind of get roped back into being just policemen of the town.
The town is definitely running rampant with Michael Bynes.
They rolled into town and found himself in a Michael Bynes.
I like it. So, you were saying, they come to this town with a crime rate higher than modern-day New York. They like to really kind of push that on you right in the start. And this film opens with something which I thought was incredible, and it's the first time that I've ever saw in a film, and this was the first time I've ever actually noticed it enough to make note of it. It has the first mustache transition I have ever seen in a film, to where it focuses on Michael Bynes' mustache so hard.
It's so elegant because it goes from mustache to sunrise.
Yes.
As if it were like some kind of like mythological thing. Or
there's so many different flavors of mustache in this movie. I was loving it. It was like the Baskin Robbins of mustaches.
I mean, we have the bottom of the barrel, the worst, the non-stash. The non-Hispanic Hispanic man with his two little Sharpie marks on either side of his lip.
Where if you took both halves of the mustache and put them on one side, it would equal half a mustache. Wow. This movie, the plot isn't really something that people need to follow much. Rundown would be guys roll into town, cause mischief, random dudes show up, ex-law enforcer. They rope him into coming back on board, and there is copious amounts of smoke. And I don't mean cigarettes. Every time a gun is shot, someone is shot, a horse walks by, someone breathes, there is just smoke.
They're just all chimneys.
Yeah.
I do have to agree. The plot is it is a historical event.
Correct.
What makes this movie is the tone and the energy by the actors and actresses. There's something extremely entertaining about this movie that gives it a certain rewatchability that any movie can't quite carry all the way through. But there's something about this that I just love watching these four guys romp around town and just blowing people away in the name of the law.
I'll tell you, this being my first watch through, what really made it for me was Val Kilmer. Every single scene that Val Kilmer was in, he took over. And I've never been a Val Kilmer fan. Like, he's fine.
You've never been a fan Kilmer?
Thank you. But he just had the power to take over every scene that he was in with his eyes, with his mouth, just the facial things that he was doing just did something kind of magical in every scene that he was in.
The sweating.
Lots of sweating.
The magical
too.
Sweating.
It's the glistening of the sweat.
He had a glow to him.
Perfect.
I see what you did there. Yeah. So we're talking about performances here. Val Kilmer, like you said, he's incredible in this. Kurt Russell definitely comes out strong. One of the more underrated performances that, you know, probably should get a bit more attention, but definitely does not, would be Curly Bill. I don't care for the man too awful much, especially in the movie, whenever I feel like so much could have been avoided had Wyatt just shot the damn man. Instead, he's like, oh, you may be the murderer, or you may have done this or that. Nah, go on, Curly Bill, or whatever the hell your name is, Michael Ironside, not guy.
Was it that Clinton fellow?
Yeah, I don't remember his name. Whenever we were reviewing this, I was cracking more jokes about him than I was actually paying attention to his character.
Every time he's on screen, you start roasting him.
Yeah, basically. I mean, it's the same with Billy Bob.
Well, hell, he looked roasted himself. He looked like a glazed ham.
Yeah, man.
He was so tan and sweaty.
Damn you, what? I guess the transitional moment would be whenever the gang's leader of the quote-unquote cowboys, the Red Sashes, had actually wandered out into the street high on opium, while turning in his guns, accidentally shot the... Was he the sheriff or the marshal? What was he?
Yeah, he was the town sheriff.
Town sheriff, yeah. He He just gunned him down, not in cold blood, more in an accidental drunken drug-induced stupor.
Warm blood, you know.
Yes.
Hot-blooded, gun it and see.
Yeah, I mean, you gotta shoot somebody, fuck it. And then Wyatt's like, yeah, well, since no one's going to do anything, I guess I'm going to have to. Then he comes out there and takes the guns away. And, you know, the whole situation seems like it's going fairly well. Nothing seems too out of hand. Nothing seems too violent. Nothing seems like it couldn't be just a, oops, this guy got shot. Maybe we'll even go to trial and it'll be okay. Now, this is where the secondary characters really come in and start fucking things up. Now, for the gang leader, we have the one fella, the Curly Bill, or whatever the hell his name, I can't even remember his name. He comes out, and he really starts putting the screws to Wyatt, threatening his life, pointing a gun at him, this, that, and the other. Thomas Hayden Church, is that his name?
Oh, Sandman.
Sandman, yes. He is also back there. He comes wandering out, starting trouble, and then you have Sam Elliott and, of course, Val Kilmer, who just ramp the situation up. Now, had this been left down to Wyatt and the gang leader, I think things could have maybe just worked out and been okay. Oops, dead sheriff. Life goes on. Oblade, oblada. But they really ramped that situation up.
So what makes this scene carry the weight is because the town has been ravaged by these guys forever, and now their only source of law is now gone. So now they all look to Wyatt Earp, who had been deputized forever ago, is long since retired, but now he's in town, and they're their only hope.
Obi-Wan, yeah. I mean, it's definitely a Star Wars story.
But he wasn't riding solo.
I'm getting too damn old for this shit, that kind of idea.
The Sam Jackson?
Yeah.
Okay.
Danny Glover?
Danny Glover.
Damn it! That almost sounds racist. Even with all that stuff and the continuation of the film, they get out of jail, he's released. Everything's actually still going pretty well. Like, Wyatt kept shit on the level. Then they move on. And to be honest with you, I'm kind of struggling with what really set it off. It was the poker game, wasn't it?
Well, I mean, the poker game was definitely a little bit like antagonist between the two parties, you know, the Tombstone Fellows and the Cowboys. Butte, I feel like you're right. The only reason why they got into this mess is because Virgil, or Sam Elliott.
Yes.
Because they came into town, they were threatening them, just talking shit at that point. Like, yeah, we're going to kill them. We're going to fucking just whip our pistols out and fucking whatever. So that was just all hearsay. Like, they passed them in town. They were at eye level. They saw each other. At any moment, this could have broken out into a gunfight, but it didn't.
Yeah, it was just drunken babbling.
And Virgil, or Smelliot, he just couldn't contain it. He felt like the town was way too much in danger and they had to do something about it. So they decided to confront these guys behind the OK Corral.
Let's defuse this situation by walking up on a man, washing his face, trying to sober up, letting off some steam, pissed that his boys may have gotten shot earlier in the film. How do we defuse this situation? Walk the fuck up, have a half-drunk Western Dracula point a shotgun at them at point-blank range and say, give me your guns.
Give me your guns. Yeah, I feel like the escalation was definitely one of the things that was just leans more towards drama than history. As much as I love this movie, there's really no inclination.
No.
I mean, beforehand, we never see Sam Elliott really be up in arms about anything.
Well, the kid, he's like, this kid almost got ran over in the street by some horses.
Yeah, so the Cowboys rolled in, they almost ran over a kid, and I guess that was the catalyst of everybody being
not
murdered.
Two people getting gunned the fuck down in the middle of the street, not Billy Bob Thornton rolling up on him with a shotgun to be ignored.
That's okay, they forgot he was there.
Yeah, it was the kid. Too much. Then we've got the big showdown.
At the OK Corral. It was an alright corral.
It was fine corral.
I think it was you who pointed out, and I have never noticed, in my head, I was like, this is just leaky water. It's a shit cistern just leaking right the hell there in the middle of the corral.
Oh yeah, they're just having a shootout in the old cistern puddle, so.
Yeah, and they even dragged one of the corpses through it. Like, it's no big deal. It's just filth.
He's dead.
Even if he's not dead, he is now going to go septic due to his bacteria, you know? Like, whatever.
He's not dead now. He'll be dead soon.
Things go from bad to worse whenever everyone starts shooting. And again, I'm just going to keep referring to him as Curly Bill. This character is like, Clinton?
Yeah, I think so. Well, then the guy with the dumb hat that was making me mad because it's flipped up this way so it blocks no light. Yes. So there's no purpose to wear that hat.
It's like wearing a backwards hat and having your sunglasses clipped to your chest and then putting your hand over your eyes.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Every time I saw him in the movie, I just kept thinking of Gabby Johnson from Blazing Saddles. That's by far my biggest reference for Western movies is Blazing Saddles.
Quick as shooter in the West.
So they go in there and all hell breaks loose. So-and-so gets shot. All these people are just getting gunned down. Doc Holliday shoots a fellow with a shotgun. I think first person to get shot, friendly-wise, is Sam Elliott. Takes it right in the leg and drops down.
I thought that was Morgan, Bill Paxton.
Nope, Bill Paxton takes it in the collar.
Oh, that's right.
Clavicle. Takes one in the clavicle. So he gets hit there, and Sam Elliott takes one in the leg. And then Doc Holliday decides to pull down his pistol for whatever reason, and he does that classic one hand on the gun, one hand on the hammer, and just pounds out six rounds fast as lightning. And guns down two fellas, which makes me, you know, wonder had Doc just shot them all, if anyone would have even got wounded.
He wasn't going for accuracy.
Gotta fan the hammer. You just gotta fan the hammer.
Absolutely.
I mean, if that's what we're calling female masturbation nowadays.
He just had to get that lead down range, show who's boss.
Fanning the hammer. I'm gonna take a note of that, Chandler. Thank you.
Hammer fanning 101.
The hammer.
You have to use it, like, unironically, just all the time.
Yeah. What are you doing? See you later, boys. I'm going to go fan the hammer. Why the fuck not? So that escalates. They get killed. We pick it up with them being in their... It's not their saloon. It's just a saloon? But they kind of run it, I suppose?
Afterwards?
Yeah, I think whenever they're all celebrating, kind of cracking jokes, playing pool.
Yeah, that's theirs. It used to be owned by the Chinese fella.
Okay. And so they go in there, they celebrate. There's some drive-bys, some anticipation. There's a funeral where these men get the most elaborate coffins for the day and age.
Very fancy.
Very fancy. Classic.
They live in filth, but they die... quite fantastically.
Yeah, they had new suits, and these are for the characters who, when you saw them early in the film, are just wearing
garbage,
sodden rags.
Yeah, it's something they've definitely worn at least a week at a time.
Suddenly they have the brand new suits. They have the rosin cheeks for the mortician's pay or whatever, and they're getting toted in their little glass coffins.
Yep, those viewing caskets.
Chandler even noted that they had fireworks. Wow.
It was a celebration. Celebration of life.
From that point, where did they go? They get the funeral, and then I think it's Michael Biehn's character, Bean, whatever his name
Ringo.
Is. Ringo, yes.
Yeah, at this point, those were a lot of his good buds, so he gets totally wasted. Like, absolutely just ridiculously hammered. And he wanders into the street and starts threatening everybody.
Yes, with his greasy 90s hair.
Yeah.
It looks amazing, though.
And he's like, hey... You don't want to play with blood. You don't want to deal with blood. And that's when Val Kilmer, by all means, has the greatest line in cinema history.
Chandler.
Which line are we talking about?
That's exactly what he said. Okay.
That's exactly how it went. Just like that.
Oh, I'm your Huckleberry.
Well,
send shivers down my spine. Now I have the tuberculosis too.
I may start coughing any moment.
I might have said it a little bit more lustfully than he did.
Very lustful.
Yeah. I started to swoon there.
As you said to me, I got the vapors.
The vapors. Starting to get those Val Kilmer sweats.
Tom Mix wept. Now, during the later scene, there's actually it was before, whenever the sheriff gets caught, they call for a lynching.
Mm-hmm.
And I forgot to bring this up, and I really wanted to talk about this because it's one of those things that a lot of people may not have caught that I just loved, mainly because of the sound effect it makes. They're calling for a lynching. There's a fella holding a shotgun up. It's a very long double barrel shotgun. Looks very heavy, sounds very heavy.
Oh, I see what you're going with this.
Wyatt comes charging in to disrupt the situation, and he swats the shotgun away. Now, this extra who is holding the shotgun, I don't know if the weight of the shotgun really gets a hold of him or if he's trying to get away from the horse, but this shotgun carries over into another extra space.
It's quite audible.
It is very audible. And there's
if I wasn't taking a bite out of a chicken wing or whatever, I would have noticed it too. We had to roll it back because we were so curious, and some dude gets wailed in the face with a shotgun.
There's even a noticeable motion of concern before the man slips out of frame from the man toting the shotgun who strikes the other man. The hand comes up as the gesture of, oh shit, are you okay? But then they slip out of frame.
No, it's fine. Just keep rolling. It's fine.
Then we have, after that bit, Ringo is out there and he's causing a big old commotion. They go inside and it's raining. Now, during this big rainstorm... No. I'm skipping ahead. I made a mistake. There is a scene where a random unknown assailant shows up to get revenge on the women.
Oh, yeah. That's true.
Now, he doesn't aim this guy just charges in. Aims a double barrel shotgun way too high. Like,
just bursts in, aims indiscriminately, and hits nothing of value.
Nothing. Yeah. Well, I don't know about a value. He hits that one painting in the back. We can't put a monetary value on it. I mean, it is from the profile, but I'm sure anything back
then. Well, they didn't have any Antiques Roadshow back then. Back then, it was just Roadshow.
I am not an art assessor. Nice. So I'm going to call it nothing of value at this
Sir,
point.
Sir, there may have been tasteful titties on that piece of canvas. Within 3 seconds, these women are just sitting back down like,
oh, no, not again.
Yeah, like every Tuesday.
To be honest, that town had been shot up so many times. They just kind of gather around and just like, whoo, that could have been a lot worse.
Yeah.
You know? Well, back in the day, it was either shoot or get shooted. So.
Yeah. After that, a couple of the cowboys, the Red Sash Gang, throw their sashes down, which include Michael Roker's character.
Yes.
And they say, we had nothing to do with them shooting up them lady folk.
Which is kind of funny because they in no way infer that they did.
Nope. Because Wyatt had no clue.
Nobody did.
Just out in the town.
Hell, like, whatever. To be honest, even as an audience, we don't know.
Yeah.
I mean, I always assumed it was Ringo. Because we'll cover that in a little bit. But nobody really knows who took the shots. After that... Virgil,
outside in the rain.
Yeah, actually, Virgil had gone out for like a little bit of walk during the storm.
Oh, that's
He felt a little bit of unease, so he just took a little walk. But he wound up coming back with a gunshot wound.
Yes, and Virgil seems to be in enough of a state that he's okay. He's all right. He's fucking Sam Elliott, man. That mustache probably took 2/3 of the buckshot or whatever hit him. Wyatt goes out to kind of have one of those little moments where he's like, Wyatt. He does this several times in the film, by the way. Mm-hmm. Just staggers out onto his own to lament life. So he goes out to lament, and Bill Paxton's character, Morgan. Mm. This man ruins a pool table. I mean...
He tries his best, but damn, he scratched.
Yeah, he leans over to take a shot on the pool table, times it to match the thunder perfectly. Kaboom! As soon as you hear the crack of thunder, Bill Paxton is shot.
Absolutely.
He has a drawn-out, oh, scene.
Just like that woman who fell down in the grape smashing thing.
Ow. And he slides down the pool table, collapses to the floor. Cut scene, comes back in, here's Wyatt and the ladies pulling in all sorts of random nonsense. There's a doctor who cannot fish the wound out of his back. He's digging in there with them tweezers and blood is oozing out. Just because he can't get the bullet, I guess that's all he wrote.
I'm not really sure why that mattered, because he was done anyway.
Yeah, that hole is probably the size of... You could probably shove 3 fingers, you know, it's a 3-finger width.
Yeah, it wasn't a through and through, was it? Just
no, it was just in him.
Yeah.
The man's done. Wyatt is reasonably upset.
And also covered in his brother's blood.
Yes. And Bill Paxton puts on a hell of a show with his death scene.
Absolutely.
He does a great job putting on that death scene. Whenever his head finally goes limp with the... It was believable.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I feel for the guy. I mean, he's like his little brother, and he's trying to be tough, but, you know, he's just a little brother. Then he winds up getting blown away and not having a chance to, like, come into his own form.
Yeah. Then we got him staggering out in the rain.
Staggered out, Kurt Russell staggers out into the rain, distraught, covered in his own blood, almost like he spilled a meatball sandwich all over himself.
Yes. Just
wandering around into the rain looking for a wet wipe.
Yeah. It's the
somebody get this sauce off of me.
And some poor lady, I think it was his mistress, was like, hey, man, you need some help. He's like, get away from me.
That is the most undeveloped relationship I've ever seen in a movie. He's suddenly just like, oh, hey, there's a chick. I'm into her.
Yeah.
We rode out and sat down and had a picnic for a minute. And then it's love?
Well, she's back in pretty, the day, though.
She was pretty, and back in the day, a picnic pretty much meant they were hitched. So
I mean, that was like next week and chill, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
That's picnic. At least second base.
I mean, with all the stuff that they wore back then, if you weren't going all the way, you weren't going.
That's true. Yeah. That's very true.
I mean, these people lived to the ripe age of 33. So everyone here is definitely like,
bruh,
27. So they're just like, let's do this.
No, I understand that. So we have the amazing death scene of Bill Paxton. Then we have our boy Ringo and his boss.
It's almost like one was the boss and one was definitely the right hand.
Oh yeah, like 100%. That's
like
his
like a bodyguard, mob boss kind of thing.
Like one guy maybe calls the shots, and everybody
but one
respects
guy actually
the right
does
hand.
The shooting.
Yeah, that's him. So they're leaving town, and Wyatt stops the wagon to say, "Hey, we lose. You win. We're done."
Mm-hmm.
Michael Biehn, Ringo, hits him with this low-down dirty line, and it's cringeworthy. Like, when he hits him with that, you just want him to skin those smoke wagons and go to work.
Like, like you saw me, I was just jumping around because I hate it. I hate it in my soul.
Yeah.
I've seen this movie so many times, I just wanted to be like, do it! Just do it! Just
no,
blow Shia
LaBeouf him. Just do it!
Just like, just whip those six shooters out, just like...
But they take it with a grain of salt, and they try to get the hell out of Tombstone. So they go to the train station where, once again, Clint, I think you said his name is? Curly Bill. I'm just going to call him Curly Bill. Fuck it.
Curly Bill.
Is waiting on him, and he wants to gun him down. Well, Wyatt, once again, chooses not to shoot Curly Bill, but shoot this other fella. But he does do this badass scene where he's like got his boot next to Curly Bill's face, and he's sliding it. Kind of provocatively, along his face,
and it was more implied. But he's like, "Kiss it."
Yeah, and then with a quick flick of the heel,
with a quick kerchoo,
of the heel, he cuts his face with the spur. Now, mind you, he's cutting his face, but he's spitting out blood. I get it, whatever. You know, it's a cool scene. Then that's when it begins. That's when the action portion of this takes off. I know a lot of people are going to get butt hurt that we haven't talked about, you know, oh, let me flip my guns around like RoboCop and, you know.
A little cup scene.
Yeah, you just want to stand there and bleed. All these different scenes. There's amazing quotes. If we try to cover it all, it would take us all night. So we're just wanting to give you the meat and bones, the rundown of this movie, and get you interested in going and checking it out for your damn selves.
Why get all mad at the audience?
They're going to do it.
We don't even have one yet.
Do it! Shia LaBeouf. If you don't, Shia LaBeouf. But this is where it comes into the meat portion. All action.
Absolutely. Like, at this point, he's 100% revenge.
Mm-hmm.
To the point where he gets, not knighted, but...
knighted. Yeah, deputized.
Deputized as a U.S. Marshal. I don't know. Like, you get deputized to be a deputy or a sheriff. What do you get to be, like, a U.S. Marshal?
Just
like,
oh, Eric!
Get the old, like, U.S. sword.
Yeah, it's got an American flag on the blade.
Yeah.
Oh. But, yeah, he gets deputized, and then they start riding out with some of the former members of the Red Sash Gang.
Yeah, those ones including Michael Rooker, who had rescinded the entire cowboy thing,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And they decided to ride with them in battle and just murder as many people as they can. At this point, this movie has a body count.
Oh, yeah.
Like, for sure.
It's preposterous. And also, for those people out there who love to nitpick a movie, the one thing that I can say is there are many, many times where you will see a man with a six-shooter fire for an ungodly amount of time without ever having to reload.
It's the thought that counts, really.
Yeah, I mean, even in the scene with Wyatt coming up, no. And he's just, they're like, why I reload? And he's like, no! Just shooting.
Well, just like early when What's-His-Name was all fucking tripped out on opium or whatever.
Yes.
He's in the middle of the street with both the six-shooters shooting, and then there's a whole scene in the bar. You can clearly
he's
hear him still
out
shooting.
There.
and it comes back to him still on his shooting. Mind. Bang, 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 bang. And he still has enough ammo to blow away the sheriff.
Yeah, it's just a little movie magic.
Movie magic. It reminds me of Young Guns, when Emilio Estevez shoots down at the floor.
Yeah.
He spins in a circle. It's like 50 shots from 2 6-shooters. It's amazing. But we have them, they go out, and it's just murder time. And there's several scenes of just murder. And
what more do you need?
It's well done. There's even a scene where I think a fella takes a rifle from the barrel end and hits the fella riding horseback the face with the butt of it.
Bricks
and
he his face really so hard,
plays it up with the Triple H water spray. Just goes everywhere. Then suddenly cut to ambush where they're at the creek.
Oh, yeah.
And I've already referenced the no. Now, if you guys just need to look something up on YouTube to see what Tombstone's all about, look up the Tombstone Creek scene.
Tombstone, no.
Yeah.
The Tombstone, no. And apparently this entire scene was inspired by an actual, what do you call it?
Witness account?
Yeah, an eyewitness account. So technically, this could have happened. Probably not in the fashion that it did. He's not invincible. I mean, there's a guy 5 feet away just unloading every shell that they had, and he just goes into an oblivion somewhere.
Kurt Russell is pinned down. Val Kilmer. Pinned down.
Val Kilmer, tuberculosis.
Yeah, he's sitting there like, why? You need to do something or I'm going to choke. And so they're stuck. They can't get out of it. Wyatt stands up. He doesn't want to die. And if he does die, he wants to get the one dude he's there for. And he just says,
No.
And he starts marching out to meet these guys head on. Just going, no. 7 dudes cannot hit him. He draws his guns, and each round from each gun strikes a man and kills him.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. His accuracy goes from, like, 0 to 100 quickly.
It's instant.
Every shot is a kill, either headshot or just play it straight up, just, like, center instant. Body mess.
It was Han Solo versus the Stormtroopers.
All day. All
oh,
day.
Yeah, absolutely.
And these are the guys who they could shoot moments before. But just because Wyatt said no.
His no was so strong.
I mean, this was what? I think they played up 1879. And by God, no means no.
Yeah, absolutely. Nowadays, no is like, well, I could probably convince you otherwise. Yeah, like but back then, no was law.
But he ends up shooting everyone while taking amazing amounts of bullets that don't touch him. And he kills the main dude that he's there to kill. While once again, everyone else flees. And Doc Holliday, Val Kilmer's character, has an amazing line afterwards when they're looking for Wyatt.
Yep.
He goes, you guys seen Wyatt? He goes, check down by the creek bed, walking on water.
Yeah.
And you're like, all right,
there
you go.
He was almost pissed at him that happened.
Because, I mean, you got Val Kilmer, and he's like the fucking gunslinger, you know, 6 gun in this.
Yeah, he himself seems invincible in the light of his ailment.
Yeah, come on! You know, he's doing his thing. And then all of a sudden he gets upstaged by this man who just walks out into a hell of bullets like, fuck it. Then we get more of the riding and killing, and Val Kilmer, his tuberculosis, strikes him low. And he has to take a rest day.
It's very true.
At a local stable with some unnamed PCs. You know, just, who are you? Oh, I'm player character. Or NPCs.
NPCs. I used to be a knighted like you.
Yeah, I used to be a deputy marshal until I took a shotgun to the knee.
He's just missing a leg.
It's just fucking gone. Yeah. So they lay him low. He's like, I gotta hang out for a little bit.
Yeah, it plays with your emotions a little bit because you feel like that's the end of it. Yep. Even Kurt Russell thinks it does. He even leaves his little deputized marshal badge with him. Yep. Like, here you go, pal, this is what you mean to me.
Yeah, here's your little knick-knack.
But it turns out he's a little bit more clever than we think.
Mm-hmm.
As Kurt Russell goes around, he's actually going towards Ringo right now.
Correct.
So I guess
he was called out.
Yes. I guess on foot, we'll get to that later, but during this entire thing, Doc Holliday takes the badge.
Somehow.
Yeah, somehow gets there before Kurt Russell, who did get there on foot.
He's just running like, dun, 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 dun. You know, the theme.
Whatever of glory.
Yeah.
Not Blades of Glory. It's terrible.
Chariots of Fire.
Yeah, Chariots of Fire. There was some kind of burning shit in there somewhere. You know.
The Hunger Games. But yeah, he somehow gets there before him.
Yeah, he almost takes the revenge for Wyatt because they're such best friends.
Yes.
Hell, I've got lots of friends, but he doesn't.
That's a great line.
Yeah.
And they even like to reference that Doc Holliday goes out there and he goes, number one, because Wyatt's his boy.
Not only that, but they do mention that Ringo is like, I guess, a strong entity.
Yes.
And Wyatt Earp cannot beat him.
Correct.
But Ringo and Doc Holliday are on the same plane of existence.
Yes.
They're almost like...
the yin and yang.
Yeah, they're both like evils on both sides of the spectrum.
Yeah. You know, Doc Holliday's not a good guy, but he's not the worst.
Yeah.
The devil that you know.
Absolutely.
Kind of deal. So, boom! There's Ringo. And boom! There's Val Kilmer.
Mm-hmm.
Hashtag Doc Holliday. And they showdown for the anticipated showdown. They amp it up throughout the movie really well.
Absolutely.
The animosity building between these two. And then it finally comes to a head. And I don't want to say it's anticlimactic, but the scene is kind of confusing because it does that thing where it shows both their faces, shows their eyes, it shows their hands twitching at their guns.
Mm-hmm.
And then it shows like gun twitchy. And you can't tell whose hand's doing what.
Yeah.
And then suddenly someone's shot. And you're like, oh, okay.
Yeah. And then Michael Biehn just has a hole in his head going, come on!
He fell out some crates.
He turned into Tim Allen.
More power. But this man is staggering towards him with a hole in his head.
Oh, yeah.
And Doc Holliday projects his hands almost like, you know, the bully, you know, the double fist.
Like the fisticuffs.
Up. Yes, fisticuffs. Yeah. He's got his little hands up, but they're open, and his fingers are wiggling. And he's going, come on!
He's got the phalanges going.
Just wiggle phalanges. Come on!
It's like Ronnie James Dio.
Oh, nice. And so he's got these little wiggly fingers until Ringo staggers around and falls down to his death.
He finally dies.
And he says, you're no Daisy. I mean...
That's a good line.
I like it. I prefer if he would have spit on the man. Whatever.
I just wanted him to be disrespected.
Yeah, fuck that guy. Then Wyatt shows up. There's some bromance there. Mm-hmm. And cut to... what is it? The hospital?
Yeah, it's a sanitarium.
And there's...
we unfortunately see the demise of Doc Holliday. His tuberculosis has gone way too far. At this point, he looked like a dead man through most of the movie.
Oh, definitely.
But he looked like the sheets he was covered in.
Yeah.
So, he was... sweat levels all-time high right here.
If we had a meter for sweat level...
If we had, like, a moist meter, he'd be overflowing right now.
It'd be like Mermaid. Just fucking wet. So, we get that, and then we get the demise. It's a beautiful scene.
Yeah.
To even try to really bring up the friendship of these two and try to recreate it through words would be...
Well, the thing, it's kind of easy. Both of those men are animals.
No, definitely.
But one is more, I want to say, earthly than the other. Doc Holliday is almost like a caricature. Like, yes. He knows he's dying. He'll kill at the drop of a hat. He has no remorse. Whereas Kurt Russell and Wyatt Earp, he's more human. He's more tangible. Like, he's more, he'll kill you. But in the name of the law.
Yeah.
And he was only pushed to the edge just because of what happened to Morgan earlier in the movie.
Correct.
So he's certainly human. Like, him breaking at that point was all just humanity.
Then you get the scene where... I had to have Eric explain this to me because I lost it a little bit. And I don't mean lost it as in I cried. I mean I lost it as I didn't get the reference and he explained it to me. I've watched this movie many a times. Never put it together. Doc Holliday is not wearing boots. They make sure to show that his bare feet are out in just about every scene while he's at the sanitarium.
Yeah.
There they are, little bare feet, boop, sticking up.
Well, through his life, he knew he wasn't the greatest person. He knew that, like, live by the sword, die by the sword. He always assumed that he would be shot or basically die with his boots on. You know, just like high noon, just get shot down in the middle of the street.
Mm-hmm.
Instead, I don't know if it was car or anything, but he did pass away in a hospital due to his tuberculosis illness. So
tuberculosis.
It's almost like
as his boots off.
Yeah, it's almost like as a demon, he had to, like, real life was his hell, yes. And he didn't get to opt out by getting killed. Like, he had to suffer.
Yeah. And so there he is with his little boots off, and he passes away. He gives some beautifully encouraging words to Wyatt to run out there, chase his dreams, go live life for the both of them kind of thing. He runs out, he finds his actress lady, who, like I said, the love there is just awkward. I'm in love, because love.
Well, I mean, the new one's not a junkie, so by all means.
Hey, upgrade.
Balls to the wall.
With 2 D's for a double dose of his pimping. you get that. He enjoys it. He seems very happy. And then the movie cuts to they're playing in the snow and whatnot.
Yeah.
And Sam Elliott is doing a voiceover.
Yeah.
Almost like a narration where he explains the real.
Yeah. He explains like the historical endings of each character, correct. How their lives ended up. It is a little juxtaposed because after Doc Holliday unfortunately passes away, there is a time jump. Like, this is actually years later that he catches up with this woman. And then juxtaposed again with everything else being explained because the movie's kind of already over. Like, there's nothing else to talk about.
Yeah. It's almost like, here, let me wrap this up real quick.
Yeah, absolutely. If I had a complaint, that was definitely disjointed.
Yeah.
But the rest of this movie is so powerful and so entertaining. This is a movie that you have to watch multiple times. It's entertaining every time. These men are fantastic. I don't know what it is, but it makes me want to, like, jump up with my six shooters.
So, they're talking about how he passed away, and some of film's greatest original Western stars were present at the funeral.
Yes.
And the film literally closes on the line, "Tom Mix wept." And
I'm sure that would mean something to somebody who's probably twice our age, but I have no fucking clue who that is.
Well, I'm taking it as Tom Mix was a hard ass.
Yeah.
And this man
he's like the John Wayne of the day.
Yeah. And he cried. But at the same time, to close a movie on the line, "Tom Mix wept." What the fuck?
It's definitely lost a little bit of impact because, well, years have gone by. Nobody knows.
Yeah.
At this point, this movie's like, what, 20, almost 30 years old?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. By the time we gain ground in our little...
almost that old. Wow. Jesus. Wow, look at my nose. Wow.
Oh, shit. So, that's all we got for Tombstone. But we do have a review on Goodwood brand Bourbon Barrel Stout. Brought to us by our good friend Chandler, who drove all the way to... Where'd you get this?
I got this at Drug Emporium on Hunter Street.
Good, good. He drove all the way to Drug Emporium.
More eclectic than that.
It doesn't matter.
Oh, no.
It doesn't matter. We're fucking, what's the word? Sophisticants. That's what we are, sir. We get our beer local.
So that'll be Goodwood Bourbon Barrel Beer.
And I'm going to take my first taste of this. Eric, I think, has been drinking his throughout the evening.
I had mine through the movie. I thought it was pretty good. It's a little sweet beer.
Good food. Oh. I'm not a beer guy, man. This shit's hard for me.
Tried.
I'm trying.
I am a beer guy. I think this is pretty good. It's a bourbon barrel aged stout, aged in the Kentucky bourbon barrels. This, like I mentioned earlier, is from Louisville, Kentucky, so quite appropriate for the location. It's got, of course, it's good wood. You can really taste a lot of the oak notes and a lot of the vanilla that you get from the bourbon barrel aging.
It's touched by wood. That's on the label.
That is one of the taglines. It is touched by wood. Among other things.
Touched by wood, brewed by good. That's
I was deputized in broad daylight.
So anyhow, we've mulled over this movie pretty well. So any closing thoughts? I know, as we stated before, this is the first time you've watched this movie. Anything you want to add right at the end?
Just panic face. No one at home can see this, but panic face. Just put on the spot.
No, I did enjoy it. I really enjoyed, like I said, every single scene that Val Kilmer was in. He just took over.
Steals the show.
He really does.
This was my favorite role of his.
Oh, absolutely.
Like, his entire career.
Not the Saint?
Oh, come on. I do like that movie. Like, a lot of people shit on it. I do like it. It's like, not good entertaining, but I'm just like, okay, I'm fine with this, you know? I've just seen a lot worse.
Yeah. If I had anything to say about this, I just recommend people to watch it.
That was the whole reason why, as soon as you brought it up, I was just like, yes,
yeah,
more people need to see this movie. It deserved to be watched and rewatched. It's so good.
It really is. It's a lot of fun from start to finish. There's not many lulls. Now, it has a 2-hour, 9-minute runtime.
Yeah, I didn't even feel it by the time I asked how long it is, because we were just trying to figure out any timing so we could record this. The movie was already like 3/4 done.
Yes.
I was just like, ah, whatever.
And that's the thing. By the time you even notice, maybe it's got a lull, boom, it goes into action chunk. And then you forget all about the time again, because it's just 30 minutes of gun smoke.
That could go into really good screenplay writing.
Yeah.
I don't know who directed this movie, but I do know that Kurt Russell had a huge hand in this, because the director was either a little wet behind the ears or he didn't quite know how to put this together. Mm-hmm. But this is a Kurt Russell movie in disguise. It most certainly is.
Well, he knocked it out of the damn park.
I agree.
So that was episode 1 with Tombstone from 1993. A fantastic picture. A wonderful recommendation. Thanks to Brady for bringing that up. You guys enjoyed it, I'm sure?
Absolutely, I did. I really like that you guys...
I would give it the good wood.
We'll give it the good wood. On that note, thanks to everybody who stuck with us and got to this point. If you like this podcast, be sure to subscribe so we know you'd like some more. We have our Twitter at Beards Brewscast, so if you have a recommendation or you'd like to give us a shout-out, be sure to follow us on there. Smash that like button or whatever you do on those things, and you guys have a good night.
Bye-bye.